Good morning, everyone. Good morning. And welcome to those who are here for the first time. Some personal notices. Anne Phillips is home from hospital, and Margaret Randall is expected to be out of hospital in the early part of this coming week. The Christian Aid cake sale and the collection in Kingston raised £625, which is excellent. This was an exciting place to be, I gather, towards the end of the week. I'm afraid we missed it all, but there was a bomb discovered in Kingston that had been dropped during the Second World War, and people were evacuated from the nearby area and evacuated to Kingston United Reformed Church. Also, on Thursday, there were elections here, and so people who were evacuated were staying over into Thursday. So there were elections, there were people staying over, and there was the church as a whole was given over to Cocaine Anonymous, which was the drug support association, and they had the place on Saturday. So our staff, poor dears, really had to work hard, and they worked very hard and set up the reputation of Kingston United Reformed Church as a place to serve the community. We are very grateful to our staff, believe me. If you want your address and phone number and email address in the new handbook, which will be published later on this year, then you will have found a copy of a form in the church news this month, and if you haven't collected your church news this month, shame on you, you should have done so. But the form is there, and if not, if you haven't got that, Linda Austin will deal with you, and she has a box in which you can put your completed form so that all the details will go into the church handbook. And fancy a walk tomorrow? Well, if you meet on Kingston Bridge at the Hampton Wick, Hampton Court end at 10:30, you might get to some lunch by 12 o'clock. Look out for Georgina Forbes. She will lead you.
We join together to worship God and hear these words based on the Psalms. God is of all time and all people. God will be gracious to us and bless us. God's face will shine upon us. God's saving power will be known among all the nations. So come, let us praise God and sing God's song of grace. Christ, be our light.
Thank you.
Shall we say the psalm together? God, be merciful to us and bless us. Look on us with kindness, so that the whole world may know your will, so that all nations may know your salvation. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, because you judge the peoples with justice and guide every nation on earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. The land has produced its harvest. God, our God, has blessed us. God has blessed us. May all people everywhere honor God. We join to pray. Let us pray. We come to offer our prayer, our worship, our praise, our thanks. And each of us comes on our own, but we also come as part of a community. And we also come alongside all those others who in Kingston, in Surrey, in this country, and around the world, millions of people offering their praise and their prayers. In the streets of cities, in the corner of a field, secretly, we offer our worship. And we come to offer praise and thanks, as our forebears have done through the centuries. Once upon a time, when this piece of ground was cultivated land, with our brothers and sisters who now rest with you, with those that we have met who are now in other bits of the world, we offer our worship to you, Lord our God, that your name would be exalted in all the world and through all time. But we confess that there have been times when we have wanted to shrink your vision, to make it about me and people like me. That in our smallness, we have not been able to look beyond ourselves to welcome others, people that you love, who are not like us. Forgive us. Unlock our hearts and minds that we would be inclusive and daring and willing to go where you would lead and meet those that you have called. And the Lord says that we are set free from our sin. And the Lord says, follow me. Thanks be to God. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Do you want this mic?
Good morning. And guess what? Christian Aid? But first it is Christian Aid, because this week we'll be doing the count for Christian Aid. I forgot to pass the notices about that to Tony. So if anybody would like to help with the count, this is the door-to-door collection we did the week before last. We'll be counting this week on Tuesday night. So if anybody would like to help, please speak to me. And so now, as an introduction to the service and what's happening later in the sermon, we're going to talk about, we're just going to examine a story from Acts. And I would, we've got two, if you like, young people in front of me who I would like to help with those actions. But if anybody else would, I'd greatly appreciate that as well. So Paul and his friends, they traveled to a town called Troas. So if we can all walk, or maybe you'd like to come up here and help me. Paul and his friends traveled to a town called Troas, beside the Aegean Sea. Wavy sea, wavy sea. One night, Paul had a dream. And Paul saw a man standing on the shore in Macedonia. Hello. Asking Paul to come over to him. Paul and his friends got in their boat. What do you do in a boat? Row, row. They rowed across the sea. And Paul knew God was calling them. Come here. God wanted them to share the good news of Jesus. And why wouldn't he? They arrived at the city of Philippi. They just rowed the boat up, pulled the boat ashore, and then started walking. And they went down to the river to pray that they would be safe and God would guide them. Paul talked to the women who had gathered there. All the women are talking there, saying, who are these people coming in a boat up the beach? They look different to us. Can we trust them? And Lydia heard him, and God opened her heart. Lydia and all her family were baptized. You've been baptized? With water and a cross on your forehead. She invited Paul to stay in her house to give them some hospitality, similar to what was happening here last week.
See you later. How do you know what is the right thing? How do you discern what is God's will for you? One of the ways that some people do is that they have visions. And here we have a story that includes that. And we also have an affirmation of preaching and the conversion of a woman who is a dealer in purple cloth. Finlay Forbes will read this passage to us.
Before I start, two things. First of all, I'll be using modern Greek for the gazetteer, the tour guide that you get in this passage. And secondly, if you're following, I shall be reading from the New Revised Standard Version, because it is probably the one that is closest in style and substance to the original. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia, pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshipper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us.
At this Easter season, we go back to before the crucifixion, and from this passage that we are going to hear, it's from the long sermon that is, as it is presented in the Gospel according to John, of the farewell discourse of Jesus. Words of help and consolation to those who are around the table about what is going to happen, and about the peace of God, and about the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, who will come. David Ross will read this passage to us.
This reading from John's Gospel, chapter 14, I'm going to read from the Good News, Good News Bible. Jesus answered him, "Whoever loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and my Father and I will come to him and live with him. Whoever does not love me does not obey my teaching. And the teaching you have heard is not mine, but comes from the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am still with you. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and make you remember all that I have told you. Peace is what I leave with you. It is my own peace that I give you. I do not give it as the world gives. Do not be worried and upset. Do not be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am leaving, but I will come back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for he is greater than I. I have told you this now before it all happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading.
Amen. So let us pray.
Lord, open our ears to hear you. Open our hearts to receive you. And open my mouth to speak your word. Lord, we pray. Amen. So that long, convoluted, just a wee bit boring passage from John is a long, detailed, complex, convoluted sermon called the Farewell Discourse. So you've got this table, you've got Jesus with the disciples around the table, and you've got things in the gospel according to John that you don't get in other places. You've got this sermon, and you've also got things like the story of the washing of the feet. Open our eyes to see Jesus. Bread, wine. He says that love and sight are related. And the passage goes on and says that God came as Jesus, and now God will come as the Holy Spirit, and that the Creator and the Son will make their homes in believers and bring peace to communities. And the work of the Holy Spirit is to remind people of what they have been taught. And Jesus goes on to say that the only thing that the community has to do is attach itself to him and his group, and their job is to love. And then finally, a reminder that everything comes back from God, and that the Creator is greater than I am, says Jesus. Marvelous. These are all big concepts of the faith. I know them to be true, delightful. But what difference does such stuff make to me on a Monday morning when somebody tries to cut me up in their car, or I'm in a shop working out how I'm going to spend my money, or I'm trying to work out how I should behave with an irritating family member? I'm sure you know nothing of such things. An irritating family member or an irritating co-worker. What difference does such a passage make? I would suggest that some of it we get as an outworking in the passage in Acts. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? So the first thing that happens before the passage that was read to us by Finlay is that Paul calls Timothy to be his co-worker. What we do in the name of Jesus, we do not do it alone. Secondly, there's this business about this vision. Paul has a vision and has instructions that he follows in a dream. There's a call of the man from Macedonia. The vision of in a dream. How do you feel about that? Some people's religious experience is about visions and mysterious things, part of their Christian experience. You might not be a person that speaks in tongues, for example, but there are members of this church that do. And you might not be a person who dreams dreams and has visions, but there are members of this church that do. And you might feel like all of that's a wee bit hocus pocus, but they are strands of the faith. And maybe it's something that we need to have more confidence in and develop. Being a person that believes in the power of an invisible entity is bonkers, but it's foundational to who we are. So why should all the other stuff that we get in the scriptures, why should that be frightening to us? Maybe to develop our sort of intuitive sense that there are things going on that are beyond explanation. So there's this fantastic project in the borough of Kingston that loads of people don't know about. It's called the Anstey Bridge Project. And it's for young people who, for some reason, could be like a massive bereavement or bullying at school. For some reason, they can't get to school. So they go into the Anstey Bridge Project for a short time, a day or so, and then hopefully they get back into school. It's a beautiful, beautiful piece of work that's done by a fantastic woman called Catherine Greening. Enough. So once upon a time, I used to go and chat with them, and I was talking to them. And they said, one of them said to me, "Do you believe in miracles?" I said, "Yes, I do." And then she said, "Tell me about them." And I said, "No, I won't. Because the sort of miracles that I believe in are the sort of miracles that easily are dismissed or described as coincidence. But for me, they are the wee nudges and affirmations that just say, somebody is journeying with me." And I would say that that's not just my experience, it's the experience of all of us. But sometimes we are not as sensitive to that as we might be, and equally, we are not as celebratory of it. So maybe the challenge for the week is to look out and see what you see. Why should it surprise us that God is around and interested in us? Did you think that it was all about pulling up your own bootstraps and keeping yourself going in your own strength and determination? That's surely not what Christianity is about, is it? So the man from Macedonia calls for help in a dream, and they go to his aid. And in Acts, we get a detailed description of their journey, and that once they're in Philippi, they linger for a few days. They linger. Linger? Linger? Don't these people know? Time is money. Crack on. There are jobs to do. There's a list, there's a schedule. They linger for a few days. Linger? Don't linger for 20 minutes. They linger for a few days. The whole world needs to be converted, and they linger. After a few days, on the Sabbath, they go to a place in the city where they believe people will gather to pray. Traditionally, Jews would gather by running water. And they go there and they discover the women are there. God botherers like Lydia. Not Jews, a God, somebody on the edge of the synagogue. And they listen and are converted. This foreigner is converted. And Do we think that that was what Paul expected? Or was it yet another boundary that was crossed? And we get from verse 15 that Lydia is the head of her household because they're all converted, they're all baptized at her, as a result of her experience. And then she offers them hospitality because she would not take no for an answer. Hospitality is one of the markers of the Christian faith, which is a bit of a problem for us British people. Because I don't want to be rude, but hospitality is not one of the markers of British culture, put alongside lots of other people's culture. Don't want to, you know, you can form a line and punch me on the nose at the end of the service if you like, but you know, it's a challenge for us. Paul met Lydia where she was. He spoke to her about what he believed, and then he was prepared to receive from her. He was prepared to receive from her. Some people find receiving from another human being so difficult. They can buy it, and if you give them something, then they've got to give you something back. No, no, no. Just receive it. Receive it. So once again, he's speaking and crossing a boundary. This woman who's not Jew, and he receives hospitality from us. All sorts of boundaries of cleanliness and ritual purity. He breaks it. From the beginning of the church's life, what they did and how they behaved is an interesting thing to pause and give a moment to. If you are the victim of violence, then you could easily want to retaliate in a violent way. The early church followed a man who was the victim of violence. And then as time goes on, the early church itself becomes the victim of violence. Why did they not retaliate with violence? And then, how come they became so brave and went around the world sharing their faith when at the same time they knew that Jesus had been executed and others of them were being executed? Where did that come from? Where did that courage come from? It came from a place where they actually believed that, like in the teaching from John, the call of Christian people is to love. So, brothers and sisters, it is not enough for those of you who listened to that teaching from that reading from the Gospel according to John and you thought, oh yes, I understand that, Yes, yes, I can see how that works. I've got that all marked up. Beautiful. It's not enough. It is not enough to have the faith embedded clearly, intellectually, robustly in your head. That is not enough. Equally, it is not enough to have this faith that warms your heart, makes you sing in the bath. It's not enough to keep it to yourself. It's not enough. So I think that passage from Acts has some things to tell us. We are people of faith, And that is a strange, mysterious thing. We do what we do, and we are not doing it of our own strength and our own energy. We believe in the Holy Spirit. Dreams, visions and wonders, that's how we roll. And this faith of ours calls us to concrete action. Concrete action. It's not enough to say, oh yes, I follow Jesus and I can tell you why and I can give you the chapter and the verse. It's not enough. To be a follower of Jesus is about being part of people who are called to love. And I completely get it. I completely get it that that's just a total pain in the neck. I would be so much more happier if you people would all clear off and it was just me and God. That would be great if you could all sling your hook and it was just me and Jesus. Beautiful. But no, it's not about me and Jesus. It's about me and Jesus and God's people. Da-da. And those who don't know about God, because they are also God's people. Da-da. That's what it is. And yes, it is challenging. And yes, it is tough. And yes, of course we fail. But that is our calling. Every day. Wouldn't it be great if what it was to be a Christian was about going to church on a Sunday? Marvelous. An hour a week. Do you know what? We can all do that. Suck it up, get yourself there, make sure it doesn't touch you, get out and get home. No. This time together is so that we are empowered, so we can crack on and do that which is required of us. To love, and to love in practical ways. So let me ask you, when was the last time that you wasted time with somebody? And when was the last time that you made a stranger a cup of tea, or took them out for a drink? Or just stood and asked them how they were? Or, maybe more difficult, when was the last time that you let them make you a cup of tea? Or let them take you out for a drink? For no other reason than that they and you are precious to God. Let's be silent and then we will pray. Holy Spirit of God, when we are closed, open us. When we are unresponsive to your promptings, challenge us. And when we fortify our boundaries, and you push them back, reassure us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We join to sing In Christ Alone. So this is the Easter season still. If I say Christ is risen, I hope you will say Christ is risen indeed. Beautiful. Let's pray. God of the church, your apostles were persecuted for the sake of the gospel. And suffering continues today in the face of human cruelty and intolerance. So we pray for all those who are persecuted for their faith and their political beliefs. And we ask that you would strengthen the work of organizations like Open Door and Amnesty International, those who seek to disclose and put an end to these injustices. Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. God of righteousness, empower us to be faithful to the promises made in affirming our baptisms, to discern your will and beyond our selfishness. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. And we pray that prayer not only for ourselves, but for all our brothers and sisters in Christ in the middle of this town, seeking to serve you here in a variety of ways. That we would work together and work together with all good people, whether they know of you or not. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. And we pray, Lord our God, that you would help us to share the good news that we have found. To be sensitive to the nudging of your Spirit. For if it is true that this is the most precious of things, how dare we keep it to ourselves? And how dare we think that they should do it and we do nothing? Christ is risen. Christ is risen. God of the weak, be with those who suffer and their families. With those who keep vigil with them. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. God of justice, be with the politics of this nation. That the weakest would not be forgotten. And give us the grace to enact the vision of your kingdom by living lives of service that are dedicated to your justice, your love, and your mercy. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. God of all people, it is both a gift and a responsibility to have the Holy Spirit living in us. Let us be brave enough to go beyond what is easy and to do what is right. And we pray that prayer for ourselves as individuals, but straight away we know that as followers of Jesus, we are not called to do what we do on our own, but to do it in community. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Hear our prayers, Heavenly God. Receive all things spoken and unspoken. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So let us continue our worship as we make our offering.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have invited us to journey with you, and we have accepted your invitation. Receive these gifts of money that we bring. Receive the days that we offer. May it be the best that it can be, for you have given everything for us, and we are grateful. Amen. Hello, hello, hello. What have you been up to? What have you got? What have you got? Just, do you want to? Yep. Have you got something for us? Have you? Have you? Yeah. Yeah, no, no, use that one. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, we've been exploring the theme more about really being brave, going across the water, taking the message. And then Lydia, being the surprise one at that party, she invited people to her home to show them hospitality and kindness, and offered them, I'm sure, some refreshments. And the team here have put together some simple invites, which they're going to hand out to people that they don't know their name.
Ooh.
So don't, please offer a nice smile, and our helpers will pass you an invite. And it's really for you to come into the hall to share a cup of tea and coffee, as many of you do, but not all of you do. And there's some special biscuits we're going to hand out. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you. We look forward to it. So we join together to sing our final hymn, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. I agree with you. I thought I was surprised. It was only three verses. Yeah, okay. So as we leave this place, let us take the baton of hope and pass it on. Let us take the baton of faith and pass it on. Let us take the baton of peace and pass it on. And let us take the baton of openness to God's Holy Spirit and pass it on. And do it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.